Thanks, buddy. Hey, everybody, are you good? Just Ross really makes me work. I've got to bring my own table. It's all right. I've known him long enough. I can tune him. It's been 20 years. You know that, Ross? It's crazy. But I'm super excited to be here this morning, and I have such a passion for the local church. And I'm really excited because I believe that God wants to bring healing to parts, restoration to parts, and empower parts today to understand the role you get to play in the local church. Because the local church really is the hope of the world. But that is if it's functioning the way it's meant to function. And so as a counselor, I'm going to dissect your parts and then build you up. Are you good with that? Some of you are like, really? Is that what we came here for today? We're going to have some fun. But before we jump in, I want to start off with a story. So 6 years ago, I moved to Joburg. You can feel sorry for me. And I'm loving it. But I was driving out of a car park, and I was driving. You know, sometimes these the guys in Joburg generally have very big cars. And as I was driving out, this lady in a very large SUV, whatever it was, came around the corner a little bit too widely, which meant I had to reverse in order for her to get past me because she had taken the turn a little bit too wide. And I could see she was flustered and she was like, you know, agitated. And so I thought as our windows passed that I would give her the sign of peace, you know, the Durban sign of peace, chilled, you know, it's okay. And as I smiled to give her the sign of peace, like, don't worry, I'm not agitated or upset with you, it's all good, she gave me one finger. And I was like, I'm not angry with you. And I remember as, I kind of thought of myself as she passed, seeing that actually I wasn't angry and she responded to me in anger. I imagine there was a part of her brain that was like, oh man, that's so embarrassing. Like, that's not what I should have done. How many of you have found yourself automatically responding to someone in what we call enemy mode? You know, when you assume the worst of a space, how many of you have responded to your spouse in enemy mode? And for many of us, you may have had friendships that have resulted in enemy mode. There may have been relationships that have resulted in enemy mode. There might even be people in your church, small group leaders, pastors, that have triggered something in you to respond in enemy mode. And as I was preparing for today and I was reading through Haggai 1, 5 to 7, I was drawn to a phrase that caught my attention. And I just want to start off reading this text and then speaking into what I believe God wants us to learn today. It starts off with like this. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. As a counselor, I hear the ways of people's stories. I hear the wrestles and the struggles and the mindsets that keep our ways dysfunctional. And when you listen to this text, there's you know, God is speaking into the fruitlessness and the dissatisfaction and the discontentment and the foolishness of people's ways. And I want to speak into a similar space because I really believe God is urging us to take careful thought of our ways. What are the mindsets we have towards the church, towards ourselves, towards the part that we play in this space? Because as a counselor, I know that so many people are struggling and not flourishing in what it means to actually be a part of the body of Christ. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says this, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with the body of Christ. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. And some of you will be like going, well, I don't really want to belong to that part. I don't really like that part. You know, we've all got parts of ourselves we generally don't like. But often even in church, there might be a part that's like, okay, well, you sit upstairs, I'm sitting downstairs. Or I don't know if I want to talk to that part. Or that part has betrayed me. And these ways of thinking when it comes to the fickleness of our parts or the kind of fallenness of our parts is that it often starts causing division. and disunity. And the first thing we need to understand that if we're going to flourish and grow as the body of Christ, we need to understand the schemes of the enemy to bring disunity in the body, to cause a dysfunctionality of the parts. Because at the same time, God also has a strategy with the parts. That when the parts actually function the way they're meant to function, God's church will explode and bring hope to a broken world. John 10:10 tells us that the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. And the word devil, the Greek word for it is diabolos, which actually means to throw apart. His name is actually a job description. Listen to his description. It's to deviate, divide, distract, deceive, disrupt, distort, dissolve, dilute, demolish, defeat, divert, deform, destroy, devour. I need a big breath after that. And we often see that happening even in the church, even amongst the parts. So I want to encourage you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, if you have your Bibles with you. It's always important to have the sword with us, the God's word. And we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 12, 15 to 21. And it talks about three kind of mindsets that we need to be aware of that can hinder the functionality of the body of Christ and therefore hinder the growth and the building up of the church. It says this: now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would its sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would its sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just where he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So there's three mindsets that I want to draw your attention to. The first is the ways of comparison and then rejection. If the foot should say, because I am not, I do not belong. How many of you have thought to yourself, because I am not, God can't use me. Because I am not eloquent of speech, God can't use me to lead a small group. Or because I am not good at singing, God can't use me for worship. And so often we disqualify ourselves because we're comparing ourselves against somebody else's part, declaring ourselves not worthy. Not worthy to be used by God. And comparison also will lead to competitiveness, where we're trying to outdo somebody else's part. And often what ends up happening is this calculated authenticity of, I will only show you a part of who I am because we fear that there's a part of me that's just not good enough. And it causes a dysfunctionality. If you're also living with a mindset of competitiveness and comparison, it will result for us living for a panel of judges. We're constantly needing the affirmation of others to declare ourselves worthy enough. But that's going to put you in a place of anxiety, because then you're allowing the voices of others to determine your worth. And if you're constantly living in this place of comparison and competitiveness, eventually it will lead to failure. Because you know what? A foot cannot function like a hand. It wasn't designed to. And if you're trying to be a part that you're not, it will hinder your ability to be used by God in the way he actually has designed you to be used. And the result of this is that we end up disqualifying yourself. I do not belong. I'm not good enough. I'm not effective enough. We actually end up not even understanding the value we have because we're constantly just aware of our inadequacies, what we're not able to be. And I've seen so many people live very small lives because of what they are not. We're living in the wrong lane. The second mindset that we can see in the scripture is the ways of individuality. If the whole body were an eye, where would its sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would its sense of smell be? You see, individualism leads to the effective breakdown of the unbalance of the body. Isn't it a good thing the whole body isn't an eye? Imagine just having eyes everywhere, visionary leaders. I always say generally the leader of a church is a visionary leader, which means they suck at hearing. Because they're not meant to hear, they're meant to see. That's their gifting, that's their calling. But if you're going to have an expectation of an eye to be good at hearing, they're going to disappoint you. So know your part and stop trying to be the one main part, because every part is important. And if we're trying to all be one same part, then the functionality of the body starts to decrease. Because then it's going to be a great church of seers, and that's it. But each part is unique. And if I'm trying to only be what the main part is, then what ends up happening is I start to realize I actually can't function like that, which leads to that ineffectiveness in the sense of I'd rather just opt out of being used by God. The third mindset that the scripture speaks into is the ways of isolation. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. But often what happens is that when somebody fails us or we're afraid of being rejected or hurt, we often rather reject and say, I don't need you as a means of survival. Because a lot of people are hurt by body parts. How many of you have ever experienced a twisted or broken ankle? You know how painful that is. But if your ankle breaks or twists, you don't phone up a friend and go, you're not going to believe what my foot did yesterday. You know, I was walking and it just totally dropped me. I mean, this is the same foot I've been bringing to Bible study for the last 3 years. I mean, it's the most anointed, spirit-filled, it knows scripture, but yet I can't depend on it. Can you believe how betrayed I was by that foot? You know, I think I'm going to cancel it. I just don't want to depend on it anymore. Like, you know, obviously, you can't depend on anyone. So you know what? I don't need that foot anymore. If that's how it's going to behave, I'm going to just reject it. We don't do that with our body parts, but we do that with the body parts. And this is what corrodes the body. When we feel these pains and hurts and rejection from other body parts. Scripture's very clear, we're all fallen. The older you get, the realize how fragile your body parts are. It sucks, doesn't it? And we live in a world with fallen, fickle, fragile, fallible people. And body parts are going to disappoint you. But you know what? When God gave me a foot, the purpose of my foot, or even the purpose of my big toe, was not to support my entire body. I can't stand on my big toe for very long until it eventually collapses. There is no body part that can carry the weight of a whole body. It was not designed like that, and it's the same when it comes to the local church. So what is God's ways? Because we've unpacked a little bit about our ways, our dysfunctionality when it comes to how we think about ourselves and others and how it can cause division and disappointment and rejection. But what is God's ways when it comes to the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Can you hear that there was a plan to your part? I don't know about you, but that excites me. It excites me because I want to discover more and more his plan for my part. Not Ross's part or Justin's part, because they need to do their part. They need to stay in their lane. I want to discover the plan that God has for my part. Because when I discover that, I'm going to maximize the gifting and the way he knit me together in a way that will just come alive. You know, when you're riding a bicycle and you go into races, a lot of the guys, when they have teams, they kind of get into the slipstream of someone else's bike. And then they kind of just cruise. I feel like when you start to understand the plan that God has for your part, you get into a slipstream of functioning that makes you come alive. And I feel like I'm living in that space finally, because I start to, like, I feel like I'm in a place in my life where I understand the part that God has for me. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have trials and tribulations, and they're not going to be hills and floods and all sorts of stuff. But when you start to understand the part God has for you, you're going to come alive. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 2, I mean, sorry, 2 Ephesians, not 2 Ephesians, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Jeremiah 29, 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Psalm 139, 13, "You made all my delicate inner parts, and you knit me together in my mother's womb." Psalm 139, 16, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed." There are plans for you. Before a building is built, there are plans that was dreamed of by a dreamer and penned by an architecture. Is that a word? I just made it up if it isn't. But it's like, that's what God has for your part. He's written about your part. He's dreamed about your part. He's placed your part intentionally here for a purpose. And he wants your part to come alive. Isn't that exciting? Ephesians 4 verse 16. This is the second point I want to make in terms of God's ways for the church. Play your part. "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." He makes the whole body fit together as each part does its own special work. You only start to realize the uniqueness of the parts of your body when one of those parts stop working. If suddenly your digestive system is not working, you will realize it. And you only think about the uniqueness of that part of you when it's not functioning. And I often wonder if that's how God looks at the church, going, "Come on, church, like, you have the most incredible parts present here. If only you would function according to the way I have designed and created you to function." Because each of you has a special part to play. Not just the big toe or the eye. Each part has its own special part. 2 Corinthians 10, 25 to 26. This is the third point about God and how he has a way for the body. "So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." You see, your part is for the good of the whole. If I have a broken ankle, I don't cancel it, I don't discard it, I don't reject it. What does the rest of my body do? It comes together to take the weight off that broken part so that that part can heal. That's how it should be in the body of Christ. That when there are broken parts around us, when there are hurt parts around us, when there's twisted, rejected, even dead parts around us, that we come together in such a beautiful way that that part has a safe place to heal and become whole again. Why? So that it can do its part, because it still has a part to play. And I know there might be people here that have been hurt by parts. I know what that feels like. Just the same kind of pain as it feels when your ankle fails you. But is it my ankle's heart to fail me? Does my ankle wake up and going, "Right, today I'm going to get revenge on Matt. She's been walking too much on those malls, and, you know, I want to let her down." I don't think anybody wakes up going, "It is my heart's intention to hurt." No, it's our hurt parts that hurt people. But then when somebody's hurt parts hurts us, then we get hurt, and then we want to hurt them back. Instead of going, "I can see you are hurting. How can I help? What can I do to help you find restoration and healing?" 2 Corinthians 5:20, this is the fourth point that I want to end with around God's ways for the body. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. John 13, verse 35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You see, you're a part of a big picture. If I had to cut my ankle off right now and leave it here, I know that sounds pretty gruesome, but if I had to come back to it tomorrow, what could my expectation be of that body part? Nothing, because it's dead. We live in a world where there are a lot of dead body parts that are not connected to the body of Christ. There's no life in them. And our expectation of those parts should be nothing because they're dead. And dead body parts are desperately hopeless and in desperate need for messengers of hope. And that's the role of the church, the parts of the body of Christ, that we actually get to be used by him for reconciliation. So I want two volunteers. I'm not going to embarrass you. Is anybody in the education system here? Anybody a teacher? Can you come up? Don't worry, it's all safe. Is anybody in the beauty world? Anybody do nails, hair, skin, mask? Can you come up? I want to give you a demonstration about how the body parts of Christ work. Because when we suddenly start to understand the uniqueness of our special parts, you're going to start to understand the power of the role you can play in the world out there to build up this church. You see, there's a person right now that is really struggling. Maybe they're a single mom. Maybe they're in a failing marriage. Maybe they've got wayward children. And they just don't know if they can cope anymore. And they're going through life feeling hopeless and full of despair. And they arrive at a parent-teacher meeting a little bit late and frazzled because they've been working, because they're trying to support everything. And they walk into that parent-teacher meeting and they sit down with a big sigh of exhaustion. And then this part of the body who's educated to teach children but is also the hands and feet of Christ, speaks to that mother and just says, I can see you are tired, but I just want to give you a word of encouragement that God sees you, that you're not alone. He says in his word that he will gently lead the mothers with their young. And I just want to let you know that in the chaos of motherhood, I wanted to say you're doing a great job and that you're not alone. And I know it's hard and every day it just, you got to get up again. But I really just feel like encouraging you that God wants you to know you're not alone. And that mom walks out of that parent-teacher meeting holding back the tears going, sure, I really needed to hear that because I feel like I've been failing as a mom. And then she drops her kids off at a neighbor because she was given a voucher to go get her nails done for her birthday. And she walks into the beauty salon and she sits down with a sigh and puts her hands out. And this beautician picks up her hands and says, I can see these hands are tired and weary and that you've been carrying a lot of weight on your shoulders. But I want to encourage you because Jesus says that his burden is light and you can come to him if you're weary. And I just want to pray for you while I serve you and just fill you and just let you know that you're not alone. And again, she fights back the tears and she just holds herself together because she's like, could this be true that I've been spoken to in such a way twice in one day? And she walks out of that treatment, driving home with tears pouring down her face, going, there's a God that loves me. Because his body parts have been strategically placed out there in the world to serve the lost and the hopeless and the hurting. Each of you has a special part to play. We often think the only way God can use us as the body of Christ is up here on the stage. No. This place is to empower you, to equip you, to inspire you, to envision you, to reignite the gift that God has given you, the talents that he's knit you together with, so that you can be a hope out there. Thank you to my volunteers. I want to end with two last scriptures. Romans 12, 6 to 8 says this, in his grace, God has given us different gifts. The different gifts we have, the different body parts we are, is God's grace for the world. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Consider what things you do well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you're a teacher, where's my teacher? Then teach well. If your gift is encouragement to others, be encouraging. If it's giving, then give generously. If God has given you leadership abilities, then take the responsibility seriously. I wish this text spoke every career possibility out there in it. Because my hope then that it would ignite the revelation of the gift I have is not just to bring an income in to serve my family. No. It's the strategicness of God to place you in a broken world so that you can be his ambassadors to a hurting world. And if you have the gift of showing kindness, then do it gladly. Stand with me. I want to pray for you. Haggai 1:14 talks about how the Lord stirred up the spirits of Zerubbabel, the son of whoever that guy is, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. You are the remnant. You are the people of God. And my prayer is that the Lord has started to stir in your spirits the power that he has placed in you to be his hands and feet in a broken world to build up this church. And then it says, and they came and began to work on the house of the Lord God Almighty. They came. This is a place of empowerment. And as I pray over you, I want you to commit today. I want you to ask God to bring a clarity into what it is that he wants you to do with the giftings that he has knit in you. That you wake up every single day saying, Lord, here I am, use me. Thank you for the part you've given me. Help me use it to the best of my ability, even if it's literally packing a checker's bag and just greeting someone with a smile. So Father, I just pray for each of your parts present today. Thank you for the power of the local church. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the calling you have for this church and this community. Father, I just pray for a revelation to drop in their spirits now, an awakening of parts to come back together in unity to be effective in serving this broken world. I want you to pause in your spirit right now and ask Jesus one thing. Lord, what is it that you are wanting me to do today based on the way you knit me together? Lord, what is it that you're calling me to do today with the giftings that you've given me, whether it be encouragement, serving, prophecy, teaching, beautifying, whatever it is, Lord, what are you wanting me to do with the gift you have given me today? And I pray that the good work that God started in you, that he will bring it to completion. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.
As you go for coffee, I just want to say this. Just look around. Look at how similar you all are. Church, God has given us an opportunity. You won't find, I doubt, another church as multicultural and different and diverse as this. And there's only one way to make this beautiful. It's to serve. And if you do, you will realize relationships that will blow you away. And if you don't, black people will go this way, white people will go this way, colored people will go every way. And you may lose the greatest opportunity God's given us to restore a portion of our country. Serve. God bless you.